Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and it features live and unscripted conversations with people making a difference. Before we get to that, we'll be right back to get the show started after this. Okay, this is KX93.5.
Lately, I don't know what to do. Maybe I don't know what to be changing now.
Every time we turn away
to the winter dawn.
It hits me like a tidal wave. If I would change for you, but babe, that doesn't mean I'm gonna be a better man.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I have as my guest, Don Price, and from the Friendship Shelter. Wow. Okay. Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm good, Ernest. How are you?
I'm good, mostly. So you are the executive director?
I'm the executive director at Friendship Shelter. I remember talking with you when you first started the show back when it was down on Forest Avenue.
Right.
One of your first
KX at One Laguna, yes. That was the good times.
The precursor for this. Right?
Yes. So tell me, well, let's talk a little bit about you before we get into the meat of this.
Sure.
So how did you, who are you? Where did you start?
I as many people in interesting professions.
Can you get a little closer to that mic?
As many people in interesting professions, I was an English major.
So there you go. So there is life after a liberal arts
degree.
Absolutely.
Teaches you how to think critically and communicate. So,
okay.
But I got it. My first job out of college was a nonprofit, and I've always worked in nonprofits, if never, not even after going back for graduate school. My first job out of graduate school was a nonprofit. always admired and learned from great mentors in management in those nonprofits.
Okay.
And so kind of rose through the ranks, and my first executive director job was in Harlingen, Texas, for a Ronald McDonald House.
So close. You could have worked for McDonald's and then been like, okay, I had one corporate job.
Well, it is. I mean, when you work for those national nonprofits, which I've done a couple of times, you do have more of a corporate system behind you than you do in a small nonprofit. But yeah, so when we moved here 10 years ago, and I was enjoying being an executive director and wanted to stay an executive director, but had a kid going to high school and needed to be sure we were close to where he wanted to go to high school. And
okay.
This job was open at that exact time. And I had not worked with homeless people before or in homelessness before. And I absolutely feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
So was it just a stroke of fortune then?
I think so. I do. I think so. I'm not a person who believes in, you know, the universe moving around like pieces on a chessboard, but it very much feels like I'm supposed to be doing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when you took over, what did you see as the challenge for the organization?
Well, at that time, we were celebrating our 20th anniversary. This is our 30th anniversary year.
Okay.
And the organization had already accomplished amazing things. It had been founded by community people right here in Laguna Beach who cared about a problem they saw and wanted to solve it. And that really continues today. That's still sort of our DNA today, is this idea of solving the problem for the community. They had been through all of the growing pains that nonprofit organizations go through, from being run completely by volunteers to hiring their first staff, figuring out what the board's role is. And I was fortunate to come at a time when most of those things, which can be really painful parts of a growth of an organization, were behind them. And so they had a really dynamic leader for 3 years who came out of the business world, Carol Rhodes, and she had really made a lot of important changes to the organizations that really set me up.
Culturally.
Yeah.
So it was possible to do stuff.
Yes, exactly. And really set me up for success, I think, and I'm grateful for that every day. She had put a great team in place. Many of them are still there.
Okay.
And so for all of those reasons, it was just the right place at the right time.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're gotten into a stage where they have some professional, not necessarily professional staff, but paid staff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
And so what did you see as the goals for them to move them forward?
So we did some planning
or
at that
time. Or did you say, well, you know, we'll just tread water. How much am I making again?
No, we did some planning early on, and I think good organizations do planning about every 3 to 5 years, but they do plans that aren't big binders that sit on shelves.
See,
they do plans that establish priorities so that as opportunities come your way, you understand which ones are appropriate and which ones aren't.
Okay.
You understand what the organization's goals are and values. So the first thing we did back then was some exercises that helped us identify our organizational, solidify our mission, which did not change.
Okay.
Helping homeless people be self-sufficient and more productive members of our community. That hasn't changed. And then we identified values at that time. What are the values that really drive our organization? And because I was new and had not done this work before, we did that through a series of questions. We had conversations about what are the hardest questions we ask in this organization. And a lot of them were client-based. Can this client stay or does this client have to leave? Are we the appropriate organization to help this client? And these stories we told each other and then said, what values drive our decisions when we find ourselves at these points of these questions?
Okay.
And through that process, we came up with 5 values: compassion and acceptance, responsibility, integrity, creative flexibility, and community. And those continue to drive us today. Those values are being placed on the walls of every facility we have today.
Okay.
And they drive everything we do, and they really have through this whole time. So as we've done different planning processes then, they have all come out of that idea of values.
Okay.
And
then, yeah, so you're
right,
like a mission statement.
Exactly.
But even more distilled.
Right. So then 3 years ago, in our last round of that planning, we really determined that We needed to hear more from our community about what we do. And through that process, we began to understand in a new way through the help of John Becknell, who's just a fabulous consultant who lives here in Laguna Beach and volunteers his time for us.
Okay.
Needed to acknowledge and internalize the fact that homelessness, first and foremost, is an incredible burden on people who are homeless, obviously. Okay. But is also a burden on communities. It's also a burden both emotionally, practically, and financially on communities. Okay. It's hard for people in a community to see homelessness in their community. It's expensive for a community to handle the things that come with homelessness, the law enforcement, public works, issues that are related to homelessness.
Right.
And it wears on a community's sense of goodwill when they don't see progress. And so our responsibility is to solve that problem, first for the people experiencing it,
okay,
and also for our community. And so we take that very seriously. And that's been really what we've been working on over the recent past.
So when we look at the homeless population, are you able to say support everyone, or are there, like, there's the mentally ill, there's, mm-hmm. So what is homelessness these days?
So for us, we're looking at South Orange County. That's what we consider our service area.
Okay.
That, it used to be a little hard to define, but the county has defined it for us now by cutting the county into service regions.
Okay.
And so that is Laguna Beach, Irvine, Lake Forest, and South,
okay,
is considered South County. And so in South County, we have a couple of really fantastic service partners that work very well with families. And so we don't work with families who are homeless. We work with individuals who are homeless.
Okay.
But beyond that, that's really the only line we draw.
Okay.
From there, we talk about ending homelessness one person at a time and being very individualized. So we'll meet each new person, try to assess what their issues are, and then go from there. If it's mental health, we'll work with mental health. If it's addiction, we'll work with addiction. If it's employment, we'll work with employment. Whatever the first thing we need to do to get somebody into housing is how we're going to move forward.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more from Dawn Price of the Friendship Shelter. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show.
Bottomless pool. driver. You're taken back home. Get it together by being alone. I'm sure he's a writer. He wrote me just now. The letter is empty like I'm living now.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guest is Dawn Price of the Friendship Shelter. And we started out talking about her and kind of how she got into this biz. But, you know, we've just had this election and you, or at least homelessness and the impacts thereof was one of the planks that people were talking about, or one of the issues that people were talking about. So, in that context, how do you define success as an organization?
Well, one of the things we have to remember is we're doing this work, election or not, conversation or not.
Sure.
And we always welcome the attention that comes with people talking about our work. We define success by getting people into housing. Okay. Homelessness, or housing ends homelessness.
Okay.
And so that's really our bottom line. We don't leave people then in housing and say, good luck, world, that person's now housed, let's see how that goes. If a person is going to need ongoing supportive services to stay stably housed, we stay with that person. We make sure that they're in the appropriate housing that they can be successful.
Okay.
And among the people that we see in our shelters, that's everything from someone who needs to get a job, save a little money, rent a room, versus someone who is going to need supportive services the rest of their life to stay stably housed.
Okay.
And we see that complete range. And one of our most important jobs is working with the client to figure out where they fit on that continuum and then helping them find that housing.
Okay. And so there are different populations within the homeless community.
Yep.
So how do you, well, how do you classify them, if you will?
Well, there's a best practice, nationally accepted tool that we use called it's a vulnerability index.
Okay.
It's actually called the VI SPDAT. It's got a bunch of
right
other, because it's a government thing. We found it useful, not perfect, but useful in starting that conversation. So we can assess someone using that tool. And then I can say to you, you know, it looks like you fall into this where you're going to, this is the appropriate housing. How does that sound to you? And we can start the conversation from there. People surprise us all the time. And
okay.
So we don't want to pigeonhole people based on some assessment tool that we have.
Okay.
But it can help us and our staff know where we ought to be moving with an individual. And
right.
So we find it very helpful.
Decent outcome.
Right, right. But we don't want to hold people back. So our work is very client-centered, very client-driven. We work first with what the client wants, try to see if that matches with what assessments show. And when it isn't, that's a conversation that our staff knows how to have in terms of helping bridge that gap between what the client wants to achieve and what we see as possible.
Okay.
And sometimes it's giving the client time to try to do it their way, and often that's more successful than we think it will be. And when it's not, we're there ready to say, let's try this instead.
Okay. And so how many different types of facilities or you have you've just said, you know, you assess people and
mm-hmm.
you say,
yeah.
I think this is going to be good for this one.
Right.
This, they may need more
yeah.
or, so I know we have the alternate sleeping location.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a physical facility as well.
We do. So we work first within our own facilities that we have, but we also have worked very collaboratively, especially more recently with other organizations. So we're not limited just to what we can provide. We have two shelter programs. Both are housing focused, meaning that from day one, we're working with someone with the housing. What's the housing plan? And let's
okay.
achieve that. That is the alternative sleeping location on a Canyon Road that we operate
right.
on behalf of the city. And then there's the Friendship Shelter facility on Coast Highway, where we operate a bridge housing program, which is still a shelter program, but it's really working as a bridge between identifying that housing plan and actually getting into housing and making sure someone is on track to get that to find that housing
okay.
solution. Then we also operate 87 units of permanent supportive housing.
Okay.
Permanent supportive housing is a specialized housing program for people with a disabling condition and long-term homelessness who've been shown to need ongoing supportive services. In that 87-unit program, we have two dedicated buildings, one in San Clemente and one in Dana Point.
Okay.
And then the rest of those units are rented from private landlords.
Okay.
So we go out in the private landlord landscape and we try to find units that we can rent, and then we provide the supportive services. Landlords are typically initially, you know, a little skeptical. Right. But here's what they know about us. If there's damage, we'll fix it. If the rent's going to come on time, and if there's a problem with the client or the tenant, we're there to help ameliorate that problem.
Okay.
So I know you talked about being a landlord. I mean, that's
right,
probably
yeah.
a pretty good deal compared to dealing with all of the problems of the tenant by themselves. And our landlords find that to be true. So we will typically go in and rent one unit from a landlord, show our effectiveness, and we often are then getting calls when they have open units. So,
okay. So it's something that they've started to embrace.
They've started to embrace. The United Way is working really hard on getting more landlords involved with permanent supportive housing. But the important thing about permanent supportive housing is that we place someone in a stable environment in their own home where they can begin to look at what caused their homelessness and what can they fix and change. Any of us can address our problems in our lives better if we know where we're going to lay our head at night and where our food's coming from. I heard Dr. Ben Carson speak at our national conference a few years ago. Does not approach this work from the same place that I do politically.
Right.
We started out talking about elections. But in his speech, he said, no one gets sober under a bridge. And I think that is very true. And we try to help people have a stable place to address mental health, addiction, whatever it might be. So that's that permanent supportive housing program. I think where people get confused and don't understand, feel we've changed our who we're willing to help at Friendship Shelter because we talk so much about that permanent supportive housing.
Okay.
But the fact is, out of our shelter programs, 46% of the people who received housing over the last year did so just renting a room in the private market. We're still helping those people who are, you know, going out and getting a server position and saving enough money and and going in and renting a room or getting a, getting an apartment and starting over. That has not changed. It's not either or. It's yes and. It's this plus that.
Okay. And so when you talk about permanent supportive housing,
yeah,
and you're going to put someone in an apartment,
uh-huh,
and they've been homeless.
Right.
How do you fill in the gaps in, I mean, because, you know, you're going to be living by themselves, essentially.
Right.
How, you know, that's, and that's pretty hard, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's isolating, I mean, for one thing. Yeah.
Sure.
After you've been in a mass shelter, for example.
Yeah. And you have to, you know, fix your own meals.
Right.
And get up on time to do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah.
How do you fill in those kinds of gaps so that they can be successful, or do you?
Well, we do. And I think what you're bringing up as the, you know, sort of the low-hanging fruit of problems in that situation are those practical things. So it's not really about, we do have a wonderful psychiatric nurse practitioner who works in that program, and we do a lot of specialized care. But most of the work is very practical. It's how do you get, where's the grocery store? How do you get to the grocery store? How do we buy enough groceries in your limited income to eat healthy? Mm-hmm. What do you need to prepare meals? How do you prepare a meal? What are some simple things you can do? Can we get to the food bank? Can we take a little, can we do a little work in your kitchen and learn how to prepare a few things? Do we need to sign you up for Meals on Wheels? All of those kinds of things. I notice your apartment is really messy. Let's straighten up while we talk. And, you know, those kinds of things where we're kind of standing alongside clients and helping them learn those skills. Little by little and on their own time frame. And when we're in a shelter, everything is an emergency and we've got to work fast and there's a lot of urgency because that shelter bed could be helping someone else if we can get that person into housing. Once we're in housing, we have time. Once we're in housing, we can work at a pace that's more that sinks in a little better to learn those things.
And so when you say permanent supportive housing, is it really intended to be permanent, or are you hoping that they will leave the nest at some point and graduate?
Yeah, it is permanent housing. It's as long as that client needs it. We have had some folks move on to just a general Section 8 voucher, a housing subsidy, because they no longer need the supportive services.
Okay.
And when we're able to do that, that's a happy day for them, because that progress is always great to see.
Sure.
But sure, also
feels better than living under a bridge.
But it's also a happy day for the person who gets that supportive housing bed now that we have just been able to vacate. So we do see those things happen. Most of our people, the reason they're in permanent supportive housing is that the assessment shows they're going to need that support indefinitely. And so 94% of our clients remain stably housed year after year in that program. It's a very successful program.
Okay.
We have very few people leaving the program, especially leaving the program from a negative perspective.
And so, you know, one of the issues that is part of the homeless population is addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And addiction is damaging to people who are already capable of kind of managing their own lives and stuff. So where does that fit in your picture?
Addiction is a huge issue. It's a huge issue for a couple of reasons. First of all, and foremost, because many homeless people have an issue with substance use. It can be especially vexing to figure out whether that's the primary problem, or whether it's masking a mental health issue. And until we take the substance out, we can't tell. And so that can take time as well. We look at addiction as a mental health challenge, okay, just as the American Association of Psychiatry does. And so we approach it the same way we would any other health issue. This is an illness, and we need to help you get well. Our programs tolerate our low barrier, meaning that we don't they're not zero tolerance. Right. They do allow people who are struggling to continue to use their substance, but they can't break the law in any of our programs,
okay,
and they can't use on site in our shelters. So those are our parameters, and within those parameters, we've been much more successful at housing people and at getting people treatment and helping people take those next steps than we ever were kicking them back onto the street. That doesn't solve anything. And going back to the point I made a while ago, it creates another burden on the community. If every time I take my worst actor in my shelter and say, you can't be here, go back out on the streets of Laguna Beach, I'm creating a problem for the people of Laguna Beach.
Okay.
And I'm creating a problem for the police. And I'd rather, if I can, if it's safe, keep that person inside and continue to work with them so that I can be helping both that person and my community at the same time.
All right. We're going to take another break. This is KX93.5. You are listening to the Importance of Being show. And today my guest is Dawn Price. And we are talking about homelessness and elections and impacts on the community and how we can solve this vexing problem, right?
Right.
All right. This is KX93.5. We'll be right back.
Sunset is an angel weeping, holding out bloody sword. No matter how I squint, I cannot make out what it's pointing towards. Sometimes you feel like you live too long, and days drip slowly on the page. You catch yourself pacing the cage. I've proven who I am so many times. The magnetic strip's worn thin, and each time I was someone else, well, everyone was taken in. Power is shattering high places, Sarah Betty's in the dust of rage. You catch yourself in the cage. I never knew what you all wanted, and so I gave you everything. All that I could pillage, all the spells that I sing. Does everything were written in the constitution of the age, well, sooner or later wind up pacing the cage. Time's the best map, cannot guide you. You can't see what's round the bend. Sometimes the road leads through dark places. Sometimes the darkness is your friend.
Chinese eyes can lease out lands for the coming of the outbound stage. Oh no, no, you catch yourself. Catch yourself facing the cage. Oh no, no, you catch yourself. Oh, facing the cage. Yeah, 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 yeah. You catch yourself. Oh, facing the cage. Yeah, yeah. You catch yourself. A pace in the cage.
Well, look how where the time has gone. Anyway, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Dawn Price of the Friendship Shelter, and we've been talking about homelessness in general, and then talking about some of the services that you guys provide. And so you've been with the the Friendship Shelter for
10 years.
Okay. So what do you think you've accomplished in that 10-year period, and where do you want to go?
I think we've certainly accomplished our goal of establishing some housing supportive services and housing programs that we didn't have 10 years ago. We have also established completed a goal of taking a hard, critical look at our program models and shifting them to be best practice, to look at how people are best doing shelter work in other communities and shifting our shelters to mirror those objectives. So where we're going is more housing. More housing, everything focused toward housing. So we want to, we have a goal of ending chronic homelessness in Southern Orange County. We think we can do that within a couple of years with about maybe as few as 100, 150 more units of permanent supportive housing in South Orange County.
Really?
If we were able to establish, say, 150 more units than we have now, we could house every person that's identified in South Orange County as chronically homeless and have enough flow within those units to be available for the next people that are identified. Because when we talk about ending homelessness, people think we're Pollyanna because, of course, people are going to fall into homelessness. That's always going to be true. We talk about ending homelessness, we mean that no one is homeless for longer than 30 days, that we can fix it quickly. If someone becomes homeless, we can get them into a shelter, work with them quickly, get them back into housing, whatever that housing is most appropriate for them within 30 days. And we feel we can do that in the chronic homeless realm in South Orange County relatively quickly and be a beacon to the rest of the county and the region for how to get this done. Other communities have done this. Salt Lake City has done this. King County in Washington State has done this. Hmm. There are places all over the country that are ending specific kinds of homelessness, veteran homelessness, chronic homelessness, family homelessness. And we believe it's very, very reachable goal here in Southern Orange County. So that's our short-term goal. It's cool to say it's a short-term goal.
Yeah. And if people want to find out more, want to get involved, what have you, what do they need to do?
We encourage people to contact us through our website, friendshipshelter.org. Right now, you'll see a video at that homepage about three of our people that worked through our shelter programs into housing. There's a contact us link or get involved link that you can get more information about volunteering or being involved. It's our year-end giving time, so if you want to participate that way, there's a donate button, I'm sure, very prominent on that page. There's lots of ways to get involved. What we find is when people come and spend some time in our shelters or our housing programs, meet people face-to-face, look people in the eye, learn their stories, they often become raving fans. They often become people who want to stay involved, and we invite people to take that first step.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having
me. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
And this is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show. Coming up next is Steve Reed and the Coast Highway Shuffle. So he'll be spinning some tunes for you. Again, I want to thank all the people who came to or participated in KXmas. We really appreciate you and we appreciate your support. So that's about it for me. I'll be back next week with more of the Importance of Being show.